This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, and of course, a big welcome to you. Thank you for being here. This is Danielle Sachs, your host from Stress to Authentic Success. Welcome again. Today's conversation, I just want to let you know that it's not about motivation. It's not about pushing through, and it's definitely not about fixing something. Certainly not grief. It's about life-defining moments, the kind you never plan for, never invite even, but that can change your life forever. Now, I met my next guest, Melanie Warner, in Miami during Speaking Academy last November. And I have to say that sometimes before even someone finishes the sentence, you already know, you feel it. With Melanie, the feeling was immediate. I didn't have a lot of connection on the spot with her, but I could see, not because of her achievements, although I have to say they are really, really impressive, but because when she speaks, you can feel it comes from lived experience, from loss, from courage, from a depth that cannot be rehearsed. And so Melanie Warner is a business writer for Forbes, a best-selling author, even a TV show host, and the founder of Defining Moments. Now, if you haven't heard of Melanie, I can tell you I hadn't before I met her. But I have to say that she's also the author of the book Defining Moments. And that book is born from her own journey through profound loss and transformation. And that's when I met her, when she talked on stage about that profound loss of her own child, her own son, and the transformation that went from there. So in her work, Melanie speaks openly, absolutely openly, about grief, including that loss of her child, and about the moments in life that actually break you open. You know, that feeling, those defining moments that for the rest of your life break open something, not to destroy us, but to invite us into our deeper truth. And Melanie really knows this terrain, not as a theory, but as a lived reality. And I'm sure we're going to talk about it a lot in the coming interview. But at one point in her life, and I want you to imagine that, Melanie experienced massive personal loss and found herself in $3.6 million in debt. When I hear that amount, I get goosebumps, because how to face that? What followed in her life wasn't just the rebuilding of a business. It was a complete redefinition of who she was, what mattered to her, and how she wanted to live the rest of her life. And that's what makes this conversation absolutely so powerful, because today we're not just talking about grief as something to, you know, to get over. We're talking about grief as something that can shape and refine and even redirect your life. And I remember my conversation with Alex Lange, you know, not a long time ago. It's all about where you are willing to meet that defining moment and that grief and that suffering on a different level. And in this interview, we talk about transforming grief. So all about what happens when we stop asking the question, why did this happen to me? And begin to explore a very different question. A question that doesn't come from the wounded personality, but from the soul. And you'll hear Melanie talk about this. Now, for me personally, this conversation comes at a very meaningful moment, because I'm standing at the beginning of a new chapter myself. You know that I've been changing my brand and it's time for me to write about it again. It's time to get that true wealth concept out there. It's time to talk about the journey that has brought me back to what really matters when life strips away of the most foundational things, whether it's called health. Speaking with Melanie right now is feeling to me an incredibly aligned moment because her work, her book, and her lived experience touch the very essence of what true wealth is really about. Not the money alone, because I promise you she's very successful, but it's about the meaning, the presence, the inner richness, and the courage to live, of course, from the inside out, even when life hurts or challenges you. In this conversation coming, I know that Melanie also speaks about mentorship. We both are mentors, she and I. And so it's so important not to walk these defining moments alone, of having someone beside you who has walked the path before you and who can hold a wider perspective when your own world feels small or heavy. I just had it last week in a few of my sessions with my beautiful clients. This is just such a beautiful conversation. I am looking forward to share this conversation with you, and it's a deeply human one. So wherever you are right now, whether you're carrying old loss, fresh grief, or just some aches or some suffering that you've never fully named, I invite you to listen with your heart, and I will get back to you just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, before your Q3 call, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Great. Did you include the differentiation angle the CMO asked for?
Already in there. Three angles no competitor's using right now. Just need your approval.
Approved. Thanks. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to every single one of you. And I am absolutely delighted to have one of the most amazing, powerful, vulnerable, authentic women here in my show. And I'm not exaggerating. Welcome, Melanie Warner.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just so blessed to be here. I appreciate you.
Talking about stress, because our show is called From Stress to Authentic Success, Melanie, let's talk about stress first. Can you share with us, and it's up to you which one you want to share, but one of the biggest stresses, challenges that you've got either as a younger person or adult, you can choose. What is one of your biggest stresses in life?
Wow, only one. I tend to call these stresses defining moments because there's this period of transition where we step into who we're meant to be. And it's like these setbacks are really the setups for who we are to become if we really look at what has transformed us. And so I call them defining moments. And I definitely had one. It was a few years back and I was a young mom. I had two kids and I was really excited about I was having another son. And then so this whole, through a series of unfortunate events, things went horribly wrong. There was an accident actually at the hospital. I started bleeding out. It turns out this hospital had broken 26 California protocols that day because I live here in California.
Wow.
So my healthcare was horribly compromised. And it wasn't just one thing, it was one thing after another. And as it turns out, my uterus ruptured in the middle of childbirth. And there are five major arteries going to these organs. And so I was bleeding out. And the doctor came to me and said, "This is life-threatening. You might not make it." I found out later I was 90 seconds away from bleeding out. And it was actually my son's position in my body that saved my life, that prevented me from bleeding out. And so I had this horrific moment of, am I going to live? What's going to happen? I didn't know my son was in danger. I didn't know what was happening with him. I was just in that moment of stress, of just learning to have this will to survive. Like a doctor says, you might not make it and you better fight. And I'm like, how do I fight? I can't move my body. I am stuck here. I just felt this overwhelmingly powerful sense of a presence there with me. And I had this deep spiritual experience in the hospital of something or someone holding me. And I went from feeling this horrible panic to this incredible feeling of beauty and safety and peace and love. And I thought, I wonder if this is what it felt like when I was a baby and my parents were holding me. And I just had this overall sense of peace. Within a few seconds, I just knew I was going to be okay. I don't know how to explain it. It was a very profound experience and very personal. And I felt like I had this choice to decide that I wanted to live. And I just said, absolutely. I don't know who I was talking to in that moment. I just said, hey, if I have a choice to live, I'm going to live. And at first I felt like I thought the anesthesiologist was holding me. And I thought, oh, that's so nice of him to hold me and comfort me. But as I'm laying there, his head was popping in over here. So I really felt like I was in this incredibly rare, brilliant, beautiful moment of being in the palm of God and like being shown. And I'm getting goosebumps. I could cry right now talking about it.
See it, yes.
I was given this incredible vision of my life. And my whole life flashed before my eyes, but I had this beautiful vision of someday, if I lived, that I would be helping other people make impact, that I would be making a difference in their lives, and that it would eventually affect millions of people. But I knew I had to live no matter what.
Yeah.
So I chose to live. I made the choice, like, I'm not ready to go. And the irony is, Danielle, a week before, I had found a list that I wrote when I was 18 years old, and it was a bucket list. And I wrote things to do before I die. Mm. And I put it away and forgot about it. And it was all kinds of crazy things. And I found this list. And at this point, I was in my mid-30s and had two kids, single. Well, I was still married at the time. But I found this list and went, oh my gosh, I did all these things. And I marked everything off the list. And there was only one thing left on the list, which was write a book. So when I found myself dying, my first thought was, oh, did I manifest this? Because the list, I wrote things to do before I die. And the list was complete a week before. And here I am dying. Wow. So it made me really understand at that point in my life how critical our words are,
yes,
especially our inner dialogue and how we speak to ourselves. Because some of us are pretty awful to ourselves. The words that we say to ourselves, we would never say to another human being. And if we did, we'd probably get slapped. Mm-hmm. And yet we do it to ourselves all the time. So I realized in that moment, multiple things, the power of being present, just being grateful to be alive and be healthy. And that was a big defining moment in my life. And it changed the trajectory of my entire life because I lived. Obviously, I'm here. And I felt so grateful after that moment. For the rest of my life, I promised God and the universe and anybody that would listen, I'm never going to take my life for granted again. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to say yes to the experiences, even if I don't know how I'm going to do it, and I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to do everything I can to make the impact that I can in the world while I'm here, because we don't know how long we have, and no day is promised.
Wow. And so when I listen to your story, it's all about writing that book then. So it's the one thing that you'd have done.
Absolutely. So at that point, I had this near-death experience, and then I had another defining moment a few days later.
Oh, okay.
Because my son, through all of this trauma and everything that happened, there were medical errors that happened that day, a lot of them. One of them was what caused the uterine rupture to begin with. An unsupervised trainee came in and gave me 7 times the legal dosage of a medication called Pitocin that was not even something I even knew I was getting. I didn't authorize it. I don't even take an aspirin. I don't take medicine in general. And this is somebody who came in and administered a drug to induce labor with no direction, no protocols, no supervision, and gave me 7 times the legal dosage. So it is what caused the uterus to rupture. And then because the uterus ruptured, my son was struggling during trying to be born. So he was without oxygen for over 30 minutes. And he survived. I don't know how, but he survived. And then I had to deal with a whole other nightmare. So then I lived, but then when I woke up in the hospital after all of this, I was told, your son, we don't know if he's going to make it. This is a very tough thing for the doctors to try to tell a new mom.
Course.
And they had to explain that they made these mistakes. They didn't admit it right away. It took a long time to figure out what really happened that day. But they said, this is what's happened. Here's what we've done. Here's where you're at. And here's the danger that your son is in. He's had severe brain damage. If he lives through the night, he will have severe cerebral palsy. And I said, okay, I can live with that. And they said, if he lives through the night, then we will know that there's a place for him to probably come back from. And sadly, over the next few days, it became more apparent because additional mistakes were made after he was born that created the swelling of the brain damage got worse. The swelling of his brain created more brain damage. And so ultimately, we had to take my son off of life support. And as a mother, it was a
What
very
was his
difficult
name?
decision. It was Carson, and he was beautiful and perfect. There was no health issue with him at all. And so the fact that I beat myself up with survivor's guilt for a long time, did I give up before the miracle? Did I let him go? And the doctors were telling me, you're being selfish to keep him on life support. And as a mother, that's a horrible decision to have to make because you're here to give life to your child, not take it away. And we had this beautiful, I call it's brutal. It was brutal, but it was beautiful to be in the hospital surrounded by everyone who loved him and to be able to say goodbye in such a beautiful way because so many people die alone, whether they're in a hospital or not. And so I had to tell myself, as brutal as this was, it was brutal to be able to hold him and be there for him and be there with him and have that full circle moment as a mom. But the other thing it did, Danielle, is it made me shut down so hard. That grief was so powerful. I didn't know how to deal with it. And so I didn't cope very well with it. And I was married at the time. We'd been married for 16 years. My husband and I dealt with grief in different ways. And because I had almost died, I felt grateful to have a second chance, but I had this guilt. And in his mind, he didn't have this near-death spiritual experience. So he was almost jealous of the fact that I had this experience. And he just went into this angry mode where he was drinking a lot and it made him become more violent. And nothing against him as a person. He was just coping with his grief in a very bad way. It wasn't healthy, and neither was my grief. So, regardless of all of these things, we all were trying to cope. We didn't have the tools, we didn't know what to do, we didn't have the resources. There was nobody around us that had lost a child that could explain this to us. So we just suffered together and we grew apart. So we ended up getting a divorce, which was a high percentage of people that lose a child go through divorce. And then some people cope with drinking or drugs to self-medicate so they don't feel the pain. And for me, that wasn't an option. I had to try to figure out a way through it. And I just checked out in other ways. Like I didn't care if my business survived. I didn't care if my marriage survived. I just was checked out. And as a result, I ended up shutting down my business that I spent 20 years building and all my employees and all these people. And I loved what I did. So it was a big identity for me. So I went from being married for 16 years with three kids to being divorced, single mom, shutting down my business, my only source of income. I went through bankruptcy, foreclosure, tax audits. I even had to go to tax court and defend myself of the money that I was accused of owing. It was the worst time of my life. It was the deepest, darkest crater of a hole. And I was negative $3.6 million in debt. So, how do you go get a job to provide for your family and try to even get motivated to get out of that hole? How do you even get up in the morning? So you talk about pain, you talk about stress. I was
Yeah, I was
living
gonna
it.
say.
I was living it every day, and it was the hardest thing I've ever had to go through in my life. And I just kept going back to that place of I chose to live. I chose to be here. I didn't know all these horrible things were going to happen. And I thought, God, why did you let me live to go through this hell here on earth? But then I realized something, Danielle. My son didn't need me. My son Carson, he didn't need me. But my kids here, they still needed a mom.
Oh, I agree.
And we don't know what we can do until we have to. Mm-hmm. And by putting my kids first and saying, I will do everything I can so I never go backwards in my life again. Like literally, I will sell a kidney if I have to. I will never be in this position again. And I fought my way out of that hole. And there was one thing that I started to do that changed the trajectory of my life. And I started sharing my story, this story, the real story, not the fake book story that everything's fine in my life and I'm just dandy and everything's easy and great. Because that's not true. People know that's not true. Mm. But all the things that I felt this shame, like I need to hide from my failures because my whole life blew up and I just felt like I failed in every way. And it was a very public failure because I owned magazines. And everybody knew
in the media world.
And I was in the media and I had all these eyeballs and was a very myopic lens. So I felt like people were judging me, whether they were or not. But when I started being honest about my story, instead of trying to hide it to the public, people were so compassionate and so loving and so kind and so understanding that it is how I encountered love. It made me feel safe and loved again to be vulnerable and allow my life to blow up and not worry about what people think, to be my authentic self and find that voice for myself. So then I started sharing the story. I actually wrote my book, my first book, the book we talk about, Defining Moments, and it was called Coping with the Loss of a Child. And it was originally with Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Mm.
And this book was very important for me to get out in the world because I felt like this is a cathartic way for me to heal by helping other parents, giving people the resources I didn't have. And yet I had imposter syndrome. I had this amazing publishers. I had all these things going for me and I just was sabotaging myself. I couldn't figure out how to finish the book and how do I know if it's done? And I didn't know the process because I had never written a book and I had wanted to write a book for 20 years. So I finally got all these pieces done. And I remember one of my mentors, Mark Victor Hansen, he said to me, Melanie, stop thinking about you. Stop focusing on yourself. He said, stop thinking of who your book is going to help and start thinking of who it's going to hurt if you don't get it out into the world. And the very next day, there was a woman in my hometown that stepped in front of a train and took her own life. Her son had died 15 years prior. I didn't know her. I didn't know her son, but that woman's story impacted me so much and caused me to take so much action because it literally happened immediately after he said that. And I thought, wow, my insecurity, my fears and doubts just cost somebody their life. I know that my book could have helped her. And so it was like I lit this fuse and it had taken me 2 years to figure it out. And I was procrastinating even with a major publisher. So finally, I finished the book within a few weeks after that because I made it urgent. And so this is where I realized, like, all of us have these amazing stories within us. We have these defining moments. We have things that we have overcome in our life. And we don't have to have a degree or a special license. We don't have to have external permission from someone else to be an expert at helping someone else get through their stuff. We just have to have the experience in life or business to help somebody else get through their thing. And when we learn the process, now I feel like we have this human obligation to, if we have a cure to help somebody's relationship cancer, financial cancer, physical cancer, we owe it to other humans to share that knowledge with the world. And not everybody knows how to structure that and how to put those steps into a process. And so I had to figure that out for myself. And that was like the turning point. That was the defining moment. So wrote the book and started helping to coach and heal other people. And that took me from negative $3.6 million, Danielle, to positive $4 million in 18 months.
Wow.
It healed me. And I'll tell you, the promise from God, if he's going to redeem everything you've lost in your life, he's giving it back to me 100 times because I stayed true and faithful to him and not got angry and blaming him. Because now I can see that he put me through all these things so that I can relate to other people and be able to have this conversation with you today on your radio show when there are people listening right now that are in the thick of the messiness of their own situation trying to figure it out. And
And
I've
for
been
that person,
worst.
Let's talk to that one person, Melanie. I always like that. Let's talk to that one person. What kind of first step or little advice or just encouragement or motivation would you give that they take that first step? Is it documenting your story? Is it, what would it be?
The most important first step that I, again, that I learned the hard way, that took me years to figure this out, is to stop asking, why did this happen to me?
Me. Yeah, I agree.
When I said, why, if I ask, why did my son die and why did I live? Guess what? There's no answer to that. And when we ask why, it's a selfish question. It actually holds us back in life. And as a journalist and someone who's been in media for over 30 years, we learned when you're telling a story as a journalist, as a storyteller, you ask all these questions, who, what, when, where, you know, how, not why, never why. And so when you start asking these other questions, right, I started asking myself, who do I know that's been through this that can walk me through it? Where do I go to find support?
Yes.
When am I going to feel joy again without feeling guilty? Yes. Where is this journey going to take me? Who are the people I'm going to meet along the way? What is God trying to teach me in these moments? And how am I going to use this in the future? I'm getting goosebumps saying those words right now because I remember being in that space and feeling this immediate transformation.
I agree.
And it was so powerful. The other part was so choosing not to say why, and instead asking who, what, when, where, how, all these other things. And if you don't know how to do something, instead of saying, how do I do this? You should be asking yourself, who do I know?
Who do I know that can help or that can,
And listen to the people that have what you want. If people that have lost a child and they're not divorced and they kept their family intact, go talk to them and find out what they did. If you know somebody, you want to write a book, go talk to somebody who wrote a book. If you want to get on a stage or a podcast, go talk to somebody that did that. And to me, that mentorship is so valuable. And it's such part of human nature where we're designed to help each other, where we don't have to suffer in silence and isolation. We're not meant to be on an island of fear and self-doubt.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people go into the victim modus, that the why question is often, and maybe it's a process for some people. It takes a bit of time to get out of that. But I agree that and Tony Robbins says that as well. It's the quality of your questions that give you the answers. And so if you always keep on saying, why me, indeed, it's.
And then you're the victim. If you remain, if you start telling yourself a story that you're a victim, and this is the thing I want to share with your readers. This is what's compelling me to share with you right now. And I also, at the time I was studying with Tony Robbins, he's been a mentor of mine for 25 years. He's amazing. And Oprah was also a big inspiration.
Yes.
Now, Oprah and Tony Robbins both told me there was one book that changed everything. It changed their life and their business forever. Don't you want to know what it was?
Of course.
The book was called The Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav.
Gary Zukav. I know.
Great book. That book was so deep and profound. So I started reading a book out of curiosity by them. And then I started building my own rapport and relationship with Gary. And one thing that happened is he gave me such powerful words that absolutely transformed my grief in every way that it, to this day, it instantly transformed the way I looked at grief. I never looked at it the same way where it was a sadness. And it was a choice that I made because of the words that he gave me that I ended up putting in the book.
Share it with us.
He said, when a child dies, it can change you forever. And when a parent loses a child, the grief is a matter of perspective, the perspective of the personality or the perspective of the soul. From the perspective of the soul, interactions between personalities are meaningful. And every soul comes into the earth school when it chooses. And every soul leaves the earth school when it chooses. And if you look at Carson as a personality who lived for a short time and then encountered tragic circumstances and died, then you're looking from a point from personality, which is fear. If you look at Carson as a soul like yourself, like everyone else on this earth, that left this earth when it chose, you will have a different perspective. You'll be able to see the gifts that this soul offered to you in its short stay on earth, you will choose a place in your life where you are grateful that this soul chose to be with you for however short a time. And if you do not, you will live your life in anguish, thinking a tragedy has occurred. And when your other kids have birthdays, graduations, you'll say, Carson should have been here. And through all this time, you'll be imposing on your other kids a burden to carry because no matter what they do or how successful they are, it will be causing mommy or daddy pain. And if you look at Carson as a great soul like yourself who voluntarily left in order to be with you and offer gifts, then you will begin the process to be grateful for the power of the interaction that you had with that soul and be able to receive the gifts that soul came here specifically to give you and its siblings. And if you do not, you will be continuously turning away those gifts and you will be denying the very wealth of wisdom and compassion that was offered to you by this soul.
I want 10 seconds of silence after this. This is so beautiful. And can I share something with you?
Absolutely.
You don't know that about me, but I lost my little brother when I was 5.5 years old. He was 6 months and he died of cot death. So the whole, what you're saying about the parent and the siblings, it gives me absolutely goosebumps. And I know, Melanie, that anyone listening today, so many people have had a loss, whether it's a child or a sibling, somebody very dear. So this text is gold for everyone listening.
It really transformed my grief because when I could accept that, what if my son's soul chose me as his mother because he knew I would have the resources to do these things? What if he chose to leave when he did because he made such an impact on millions of people's lives in the few days that he was alive, because he also knew that I needed a reason bigger than myself to make an impact. It wasn't just me telling my story. It was me getting out of my comfort zone to tell his story and what happened with us that really, that transformed my whole life and business forever. And it wasn't even an intentional thing because I was so into this purposeful intention and decisions I made for my business. And this was something that just literally felt like such a setback. I thought I had lost everything, but in the process, I found myself. And I found that all the things that I thought defined me were just things. And there was a point where all I had was myself and my health and my children. And that was enough. That was enough to do all the things I've been able to do.
That's authenticity. If you align yourself with just that, then all the rest starts to flow in a different way. It's a choice. It's a decision. I think you made a huge decision at that moment. Not Thank just you. To live. Afterwards, you made another decision, I think.
The decision not to hide.
Yes.
In the shame of all the things that I remember telling myself, why is this happening to me? I'm not a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. Why is my life so bad? What did
why?
I do
the
wrong?
Why? The why?
What's wrong with me? Remember, we always say these things. Yeah. What's wrong with me? Why is everybody leaving me? And I became, for a while, it was easy to be the victim, to play the story of the victim. The victim says, my life gets better when these people do something different. The victor says, my life is going to improve and get better no matter what anybody else does around me. I'm going to choose to not just survive, but to thrive and to live. And I have to make these decisions, not just for me, but for my children. And now I look at where our lives are and how blessed we have been beyond measure. And I really believe that it came down to making the choice to find the positive, to find the faith, to connect deeper to that soul connection, and especially having that soul deep connection experience in the hospital. For me, that was God. For somebody else, it could be the Force or Yoda or whatever. But I know that there's a power that's bigger and stronger than all of us out there. And I just feel so deeply connected to that. And I don't have any fear or doubt. And Dr.
Wow.
Wayne Dyer said, if you truly know the power of who walks next to you every second of every day,
Wow.
you would never have fear or doubt again. Whether that's your God or your angels or your goddesses or whatever your belief is, don't let my words get in the way of the message that's meant for you.
And now I just want to conclude the conversation because we can talk for hours, dear Melanie. But out of all that, today you help one of the things that you do, and that's why I called you in the beginning so powerful because you have so many ways that you help people. But one of the things you do is helping people write their story and their book. So where
Absolutely.
would you say, is there a quote, a statement that you live by, how important a book can be for someone?
Absolutely. I feel like it depends on your intention, what you want the book to do for you, what you want it to do for your readers. So when you start with this purest intention of here's what I want this book to do for my reader, and you write this love letter to them, then it's really you're helping that person with their own transformation in life. So I'm a big fan of nonfiction books, transformation books that help personal development, professional development. So I built a whole publishing company called Defining Moments that's based on helping people not only recognize those moments, but then also teaching people how to create both impact and income from those stories and being authentic and real in helping others because they've been through the worst as well. And so I would say the most important thing is just being honest with yourself and really clearly defining who you want to help and how you're going to help them. And then when you break down that process or those steps, then you create a book that helps other people in their own journey.
I agree.
And it's just so much fun. It doesn't even feel like work. It's just so much fun to
And it's
help.
also a sort of healing process for yourself. I found
Yeah.
when it's about 10, 11 years ago that I wrote my book, but the 7-step process that I got out of myself and my healing process is just, it's like giving birth again to your system, to your message to the world, to your, it's a whole healing journey. So I am so in awe for you, Melanie. And your story is absolutely, I know that we have touched a lot of lives today, not just
Oh,
with your
thank you.
story, but with your text of Gary Zukav. I love the book, so the book as well is maybe important for somebody listening. It can mean something
Yeah.
in your life when you read that book. I agree. But Melanie,
And stay tuned for the TV show because we just got a
yeah.
green light for we have our global television show called Defining Moments that's going to be coming to a TV near you, which is going to be fun. So we're going to be sharing a lot more of other people's stories. We have hundreds of stories that are just so profound that I know will inspire people, but more importantly, give you a process. So if you're struggling in anything in life, you want to learn how to write a book, you want to learn how to be a better speaker on a stage, or you want to learn how to work through your own grief, or you have to rebuild your life like I did and be bounce back babe or grief girl. Like I had to figure things out, but it was so much easier to have mentors who had been through it and could teach me their process so I could go a lot faster in not feel like I had to shut down so hard because I didn't have those tools. I didn't know the process. And it took about a year and a half before I finally found those words and was ready to receive them. And it instantly gave me permission to heal. And that changed everything in the trajectory and direction of my life after that.
I want to close this conversation with, I call you, really, I find you are living by example. And I so love that, Melanie. I really
Oh, thank
appreciate
you.
you. I really appreciate your energy. And I trust that everybody is listening. I'm going to have a little break now. I'm going to say goodbye to Melanie, but I'm coming back just now after the break. And I'll give you a bit more info on how to connect with Melanie and maybe even a little bit more on the TV show and on her website. So we can all go there and see how this amazing woman is living by example. Thank you, Melanie, for everything you do in this world and for who you are.
Oh, thank you, Danielle. Thank you for having me.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
Whoa, what a beautiful conversation and connection. As we close this, in this outro, I just want to take a moment, not as a host, not, you know, as just simply as a human being human, because what Melanie shared with us today touched something very personal within me. And you heard it. When I was 5.5 years old, I lost my little brother, Eve. And from that young age onward, that loss quietly shaped my inner world. For a long time, this was always this question, why? Why him? Why me? Why our family? Why so early? But at some point, through my own healing journey, there was another perspective that opened up. And it was, instead of looking at his death through the lens of pain and what Melanie called personality, I began to look at it through the lens of the soul. I've always felt that Eve became something like a little angel watching over us, that his soul came to touch our hearts and then left carrying gifts that would only reveal themselves over time. That's clear. And that shift changed everything for me, because the grief did not disappear, of course, but it did transform. It deepened my connection with myself, with life, and eventually with my purpose. And that's what I talked about in my conversation with Alex Lang as well a few weeks ago. And the book that supported me deeply in this journey so many years ago, and one that Melanie also mentioned, is indeed The Seed of the Soul of Gary Zukav, because it helped me to understand that life events don't only happen to us, but they work through us. And when we stop seeing ourselves as the victims and start listening from a deeper place, something inside shifts. And that journey from loss and stress into, you can call it depth, alignment, inner richness, that is what eventually gave birth to what I call my concept and my philosophy of true wealth, because that is not about money alone. Wealth in society is so focused on the finance, on the assets, on the titles. It's so much more, and I will touch a lot into it, you know, the coming weeks and months, because I believe that living from the inside out, even when life is at its most challenging, and isn't that what we are faced with in society these days, all these challenging times? That's also why what Melanie shared about mentorship matters so much to me and to what I do, because none of us are meant to do and walk these defining moments alone. And if in any way Melanie's story in guiding, you know, resonated with you, just connect with her. You can find her on mydefiningmoments.com and also on LinkedIn. And I know she has an amazing seven-figure book method as well for those of you who want to write a book. And if you feel it's time to move out of your stress, survival modes, and maybe even a quiet inner exhaustion, and you are curious what my concept true wealth looks like in your own life, there's a simple first step that I want to recommend. You can take from now on the True Wealth Portfolio Quiz at danielsachs.com/quiz. It's on my website. The True Wealth Portfolio looks at your inner wealth across four accounts: your life force, freedom, fulfillment, and financial flow. The four F's. Just like in real life, when one account runs low, think about this, it affects your whole system. And this quiz is going to help you see with clarity where your attention needs to go right now. Because true wealth, believe me, it's not something that you can chase. It's something you remember, something that deepens from the inside out. And then you dare to live it. Thank you so much for being here, for listening, for sharing this show, as we expressed some inspiring topics in this episode that anyone around you can use and integrate. Do remember, you are your best investment, always. Thank you. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.